his favorite, one of the favorite character in the Bible is Caleb. And I put the two and two together that I'm gonna. We've talked about this before. I preached a message, but not the same message. But I want to talk to you about Caleb. So we'll begin the rapture series. But in Numbers chapter 13, that's where I'm just going to start there. By the way, David, thank you for coming home to help your family move. It's good to, I know that was a big job, you and Jen, and had a lot to do. They borrowed mom's truck, and they were busy, busy, busy yesterday. Thank you for coming home and doing that for your parents. I appreciate it so very much that you're helping them out. But Caleb, let me just give you the overview, and then I'm going to go right in. So I won't be able to do the whole sermon because of the time factor. But Numbers chapter 13, the Lord spake unto Moses and said, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan. So they were ready to go. They'd been wandering out of Egypt, and they came to Kadesh Barnea, and it was time to go into the promised land. God told them to go into the promised land. He raised them up. But this is where we get a little confused, and that's why the Bible is so amazing. But you have to look at the Bible as a whole. Because it says, the Lord said unto Moses, send thou men. So if you interpret this passage right here, it was God who sent, told Moses to send men in to spy out the land, the 12 spies of Canaan. But if you know God, he didn't want to send the spies in. He didn't need to send the spies in because he'd already given them the land. He knew what the land was, and he promised him. He told them, you go, and I'll fight for you, and I'll take care of you. So why send the 12 spies in? Well, if you follow scripture with scripture, as I'm doing in the Old Testament with Numbers and Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, it said in verses 20 and 22, listen to this, it says, I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord hath given unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. That's what the Lord said. Go up and possess it. As the Lord thy God, the fathers, has said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. He said, go get it. Just go get it. But verse 22 says, and ye came near unto me, every one of you, that's the leaders of Israel, came to Moses and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land and bring us word again. By the way, we must go up, and into what cities we will go. It was the Israelites who came to Moses and said, we want to send 12 spies in. We want to spy out the land to get a plan of attack. Well, they didn't need a plan of attack. They just had to go, and God would have given them the land because he promised them it. So God didn't send the 12 spies in. I want you to know that. I don't know if you hear that very often, but God didn't send the 12 spies. He didn't want the 12 spies to go in. And we know the problem it created because they were in the land for 40 days. Caleb was one of them, and Joshua went in, and 10 others, and they searched the land out for 40 days, found out it was exactly what God said it was, but there was a problem. What was the problem? You know the story. There were giants in the land. And he said, they have walled cities, and there is no way. So they came back after 40 days carrying grapes that were as large as I think you'd ever see in your life. And they said, the land is everything God said it was. But they have walled cities. They have giants. We can't take them. Two of the spies, that was 10 of them. Two of them, Caleb and Joshua, said, no. Yeah, it's great. And there are giants. And there are walled cities. But what is that to our God? But you know, the Israelites believed the report of the 10. And because of their unbelief, God caused them to wander for 40 years. 1 year for every day they spied out the land. Because he didn't want them to even spy out the land. That wasn't God's doing. That was man's doing. And you know what? I've thought about that. God sometimes gives us what we want, even though it's not what we need, because he loves us. They didn't need to spy out the land, and because they did for 40 days, they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. Think about it. They could have had the most precious land. They could have had the greatest of everything, yet they chose to disobey God because of unbelief, and they missed the promises of God. They missed the blessings of God for 40 years, and everybody 20 years and older died except Caleb and Joshua. Now, Moses and Aaron didn't go. If you follow the story, they would have went into the land of Canaan. They were believers. But because of the sin, they hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. And that's a whole story in itself. Aaron and Moses both were privileged not to go into the promised land. So the only two that would go into the promised land was Caleb and Joshua. Out of all the men, 20 years and older, they were the only two. So I want to focus just for a few minutes on Caleb. Because it's an unusual story. So you go out of Deuteronomy and go over to Joshua chapter 14. That's when they've went through the promised land. God's given the victory. I've got to do this quickly, so I'm going to skip a few things. Stay with me, though, the best you can. And God gave the inheritance, and he cast lots. They cast lots, and it was the inheritance God wanted them to have. And Joshua, he obeyed God to the T. And all of Israel got exactly what God, the 9.5 on this side, and then the 2.5 on that side of Jordan, who didn't go over, but they did fight. Then they went back to that, and he gave them their inheritance. And but as you're in Joshua chapter 14, let me turn there just a second. Joshua chapter 14, because it's an amazing chapter. But you go down to like verse 6. Let me get there a second. And the Lord commanded Moses in verse 5, and they divided the land, and then the children of Judah came up unto Joshua and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who was a Kenizzite. And again, when they were giving out the land to Judah, Caleb came up to Joshua and said, do you remember? You and I remained faithful. And again, Caleb is now 85 years of age at this time, but it's as if he was just 40. His body didn't age. His body just grew stronger and stronger because of his faithfulness to God. And Caleb came to him and said, remember you and I were the only two, and God promised us an inheritance in the promised land. And Joshua said, I remember. So I got thinking about that, because it says that Caleb was the son of Jephunneh and that Kenizzite. And I got thinking about that. Why was Caleb one of the spies? Caleb wasn't even a Jew. Did you know that? He was a Kenizzite. He wasn't from the Jewish faith. There was a tribe in Abraham's day called the Kenizzites. And before even Israel went down into captivity in Exodus into Egypt and then came out of Egypt, the Kenizzites joined up with Israel in Abraham's day, even from that day, from the promised land. They were Canaanites. But they joined up with the Israelites, and they became a part of the tribe of Judah, took the Kenizzites into their tribe, and so when things would take place according to tribes, the Kenizzites would always go with the tribe of Judah. But they were not. So Caleb was not a true Jew. He was a Kenizzite. So it made me stop and think, why? Why did Caleb go into the promised land as one of the judges? Because when they sent the 12 spies in, they said, we want the 12 leaders of the tribes. 12 of the leaders of the tribes to go into the land to spy out the land. And so in my mind, and this is how I think, why did he choose Caleb? Caleb wasn't originally from the tribe of Judah. He was a Kenizzite. He didn't have a Jewish background. He was not part of the Jewish faith. Now, he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved God. He accepted God, and obviously he was obedient to God. But why was Caleb chosen for the tribe of Judah to go in and represent them in the promised land? Well, if you do some research, it's interesting because of the things that happened. Let me just go through it real quickly. You'd find this in Genesis 38. You have to understand this because it gets me to my point that I'm trying to make. Judah found a wife for his first son. He was married and had a son. His firstborn son was named Ur, and he found a wife for her, and that was Tamar. And he found a wife, picked out a wife, they married. But his son was wicked. His first son was wicked, and God slew him. And that left Tamar unmarried. So he had a second son, and his second son was Onan. And in that day in the history, to raise up the seed of his brother Onan was commanded by Judah, told by Judah and Scripture, to marry Tamar and raise up seed for his brother. For some reason, he hated his brother. And he refused to raise up seed for his brother, so he let his seed fall upon the ground, the Bible says. And because he did that and wouldn't raise up the seed of his brother, God killed him. So Judah's lost his first two sons. But then he had a third son, Shelah. And so he told Tamar, my third son is very young. You wait, and when he gets old enough, I'll have him marry you and raise up the seed of my oldest son. But you'll have to wait till he gets old enough because he's not old enough to do that yet. Tamar, so she put on her widow's clothes and went and stayed with her family, not with him, with her family, and time went on. And time went on. And Shelah grew. And Judah never gave her Shelah to raise up the seed. Well, if you follow the story real quickly, Judah's wife dies. He's a little depressed. So he goes out to shear the sheep, and he goes to a certain land, and I forget the name of the land that he was there, but they were shearing the sheep. And Tamar is pretty smart. She knew her father-in-law. He knew he missed his wife. And so what she did is she put off her widow's clothes and dressed as a harlot. She dressed up as a harlot, dressed up so he wouldn't recognize her, and went down to the city and placed herself where he knew he would be coming by. She knew her father-in-law. And so he came by, and sure enough, he said, will you lay with me? What's your cost? She said, one of your kids from your flock. And he said, I will give you the kid from my flock. And he said, though, she said, well, what are you going to get? How do I know you're going to go back, bring me a kid from the flock? She's so smart. She said, I need some collateral. I need something to prove that you're going to come back. And so he took off his signet ring and his bracelet and his staff and gave it to Tamar, not knowing it was Tamar. He went in and lay with Tamar. And he left. And he sent somebody back the next day with a kid to fulfill his part of the bargain and get his ring and his bracelet and it back. And guess what? She was gone. And so the man asked, where's the harlot that is in this area? And they said, there's no harlot in this area. He searched high and low for her, and when he couldn't find her, he took the kid back to Judah, and Judah said, well, it is what it is. But Tamar went home. And in 3 months, guess what? She was pregnant. And it was found out that she was pregnant. The widow was pregnant. And so Judah demanded that they bring her, and they were going to burn her to death because she played the harlot. Because she went and got pregnant. So they brought her before the Israel, the judges, to bring the sentence down to have her killed. And she said, let me say something before you kill me. Because the person who owns this staff and this bracelet and this ring is the father of my child. And Judah, right then, he was the leader of the tribe of Judah. He knew he was wrong. And he turned to her and said, thou art wiser than I am. And he told the people, I was supposed to give Shelah, my third son, to her to raise up seed. And I failed to do that. I am wrong. And she is right. You say, what does that all have to do with this? Well, if you follow the scriptures, that's why the Bible, you sometimes you read something and in Numbers and in Deuteronomy, you'll get the real story. So you read something in Genesis chapter 38, that's the story that took place. But there's a verse that says this in Deuteronomy 23:2. This is part of the law. It said, a bastard, that's somebody who has an illegitimate child, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even till the 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. So if you follow the law and you follow this verse, because Judah played the bastard and went and had a son out of wedlock, he was disqualified up to the 10th generation of being the leader of the tribe of Judah. It couldn't be somebody from the family, somebody that they would appoint that was a Jew. It couldn't do it for the 10th generation. But then when the 10th generation, guess who was the 10th generation? It was David, was the 10th generation. So they couldn't send a Jew from the family of Judah to represent them, so they chose Caleb the Kenzanite to fulfill the law. So it was a Gentile person that represented Judah in the 12 spies that went into the land. God is an amazing God. God raises up and does what he chooses to do. And you know the story because of that, his faithfulness. That when they took over the land in Joshua chapter 14, received the land, he went to Joshua and said, God had promised me an inheritance. And he said, I want the inheritance of Hebron. Now, what's so particular about the inheritance of Hebron that he wanted? Well, it was the best land in all of Canaan. You know why? How you can know it was the best land? Who was in control of the best land? You know what it was? The giants, because nobody could beat them. They had the best land. If I could give you the story, to describe it, it's just an amazing plan. It's the highest point in the Judean Mountains, 3,000 feet above sea level. You could see the promised land from Hebron. To the west, 40 miles was the deep blue Mediterranean Sea. It was a great pasture for cattle. To the north, 18 miles from Jerusalem. From the south, it was pasture land. To the east, it was the Jordan Desert that provided protection. And because it had very rich, fertile soil, which yielded corn, fig trees, cherry trees, grapes, olives, but it was not easy to be accessible because it was up on a mount. And what even I think makes it even more valuable or more precious to the Jewish people was in Hebron was the cave of Machpelah. Do you know what the cave of Machpelah was? That's where Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were buried, in the cave of Machpelah in the land of Hebron. So this was special land to the Jews. Caleb simply said, I want that mountain. He didn't ask Joshua to give him some easy place. He said, I want that mountain. And I don't think it was because of the best land. I think it was because of the fact that land was valuable to Abraham and it was valuable to Isaac and the forefathers who weren't even his forefathers. He wasn't even a Jew. God raised up Caleb. And that's all I could think about this week. That God had raised up Caleb. And so I wrote down three things this week. Number one, Caleb was a great man of God because he had the faith to forget the past. He had the faith to forget the past. It didn't matter that he was a Kenzanite. It didn't matter that he wasn't a Jew. The fact is, he believed in his God. He had great faith in his God. That God would give him the victory. That God would give him that mountain. That God would use him. Even when it came time they were supposed to go into the land, he came out and said, yes, it is true. There are giants in the land, but our God is greater than any giant. This all came not from a Jew who grew up in the Jewish nation, who followed and had true Jewish tradition. He was a Kenzanite. It made him special. And he had the faith to forget the past. It didn't bother him that he wasn't a Jew. It didn't bother him that he was a Gentile, because he had faith in his God. You know what I've watched? I watched kid after kid at camp last week. Some of them had some bad stories. They grew up in some wicked, wicked homes. Jimmy and Peyton don't come from the best home. But it made their home look a little stable. These kids stood up one after the other, after the other. And this is what they said. We can't live in the past. We've had a rough life. We haven't had any godly examples. My brother had 18 inner city kids. One kid that got saved on Friday night, right after the testimony service. He was homeless as a 13-year-old kid in Minneapolis, and they picked him up and brought him to camp as a homeless kid. He got saved, and this is what he said. He said, "Oh, I want to live for God." But you know what these kids needed? They needed the faith to forget their past. Some of you have come from some pretty rough homes. Some of you came from the other side of the tracks. And sometimes people use that as an excuse, and they use that. But Caleb didn't. Caleb could have said, "Well, I'm only a Kenzanite. I'm only a Gentile. What good am I? What can I do?" But he had the faith to forget his past. But not only did he have the faith to forget his past, real quickly, he had a faith to face the facts. He had the faith to face the facts. You know, 12 men went in to spy out Canaan. They all came back with the same report. The land floweth with milk and honey, the grapes, the vegetables, the fruits are huge. It is a great land to grow. It's a great land to raise cattle. It's a great land for everything. This is the greatest land that we've ever seen. They all came back with the same report. But they all came back and said, "Yes, there are giants in the land, and they're walled cities, and they have great armies, and they're powerful people." They all came back with the same report. But you know what the difference between Caleb and the other 10? He included God in his report and said, "Our God is able. Our God is able." See, he had the faith to face the facts. You know, and that's, I looked at Joshua, and I looked at these kids this week, and I looked at Caleb. Caleb had the faith to forget his past. He set it aside. But then number two, he had the faith to face the facts. The facts was that it was going to be tough. There were giants in the land, but our God is able. How many times do you get the facts and you see the facts and say, "No, we can't do that, Pastor. No, Pastor, we can't do that. Oh, no, no, that can't be done." Caleb had the faith to face the facts and to say, "My God is able." Caleb. He had the faith to forget the past. He had the faith to face the facts. But he had the faith to face the future. He said, "I want that mountain." But Caleb, the giants are in control of that mountain. I know. But my God is a giant slayer. My God is able. Why do you want that land? Because that land was where Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were buried. The land of Hebron became the most precious land to all of Israel, and all of Israel, that became where David put together just outside of Hebron, the city Zion, Jerusalem. It was in that land, the land of Hebron. See, he had the faith to face the future. And he knew that's what God wanted. And he said, I want that mountain. I thought about Caleb this week, all week. As I thought about some of these folks in these land who being killed for their faith, one after the other after the other. They had faith. Caleb had faith. And then I began to think about, do I have that kind of faith? Do I have the faith to forget my past? Do I have the faith to face the facts? Boy, it's a tough world out there. Things aren't going in the Christian's favor for the church and for Christianity today. People don't like, across the world, I found out, don't like Christianity. You're not going to get any special favors because you're a born-again believer. You have the faith to face the facts. God's put you in some unique situations right now. Do you have the faith that Caleb had to know that God was in complete control? That God would give the victory. If God called it, he would supply. But most of all, I love to see he had the faith to face the future. He said, I want that mountain. Boy, I tell you, Christianity today, we're stagnated. I don't think Christianity is totally moving forward. I think we're sometimes moving a little bit backwards. But I think we need some Calebs to step up and say, I want that mountain. Do you want to see God do something? Where I've rekindled my burden for my family. Most of my dad's family are not saved. And I watched this missionary go to all these countries where there's very few Christians to give out the gospel of Jesus Christ. That even if just one could get saved. See, Tim, that's what he said. I had to forget my past. I had faith to forget my past. Forget my past. I had to have faith to face the facts that it's going to be tough. It's going to be rough. But he had faith to see the future and what God wanted to do. And God has some good things in store for Faith Baptist Church. I think we're right now where Caleb was. Joshua, where the 12 spies went out and spied out the land, and they came back with the evil report that 10 did, but the two, Joshua and Caleb, said, yeah, it's going to be tough pickings and tough going, but our God is able. What he's promised, he will give us. They had faith to see the facts, but they had faith to see the future. What God could do, what God wanted to do, and what God was going to do. Those 10 spies lost out on the blessings of God because of their unbelief. I don't know, I don't think it was they were unsaved. I think it was their unbelief as a Christian. But Joshua and Caleb, who wasn't even a Jew, saw the blessing of God in the most amazing way because of his faith and belief in God. And so my prayer all week was for God to raise up a Caleb. I'm praying for God to raise up a Caleb out of our youth group. It can be a girl or a boy. Somebody that will rise up and forget their past. Face the present. and face the future. Be a Caleb and make a difference for eternity. That's the message God gave me this week. I hope it'll challenge you as it's challenged me. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. My time is gone. I wish I could have went through this story a little bit quicker, a little bit slower, because there's so many wonderful truths. But I watched 255 kids. Not all of them are going to be Caleb, but I prayed all week that just one of them, one of those kids could forget their past, face the present, and see what God was going to do in the future and surrender their hearts to God. That was my prayer. And that's been my prayer for Faith Baptist Church, that God would raise up a Caleb. He wasn't even a Jew. He was a Kenzanite. He didn't have all the privileges that Jews had. But that didn't matter. He used no excuse. He just simply faced, he had faith to forget his past, to face the present, and to look forward to the future. Maybe there's a Caleb in this room. With every head bowed and eye closed, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but in just a moment, Julie will be at the piano.